Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We start first by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and thanking Him and bearing witness that there is no deity but Him and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His messenger. May Allah peace and prayers be shed upon Him, His companions, His household, and those who follow Him until the day of judgment. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. As you notice, our Imam today read Surah Al-Fajr. And in Surah Al-Fajr, there is a verse that talks about the very specific subject that we're talking about. We are still exploring the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that His name Al-Hakim, the most wise. And we are exploring that particular issue where Allah is accused the most. Allah is accused from a lot of people regarding this issue. And a lot of people question the wisdom of Allah regarding this issue and accuse Allah so badly. In Surah Al-Fajr that the Imam read in the second rak'ah, he read two verses where the people accuse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regarding this issue. فَأَمَّا الْإِنسَانُ إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ رَبُّهُ فَأَكْرَمَهُ وَنَعَّمَهُ فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي أَكْرَمَنِ. You know, when the humans are tested by Allah, ابتلاه ربه, tested by Allah, فأكرمه ونعمه, He gives him a lot of provisions, a lot of His mercy, the giving mercy, the wealth, the money, the health, everything, the time. ونعمه, makes him, give him a rich, comfortable, fulfilling life. فيقول, what does he say? ربي أكرم. Yes, of course, you know, he knows what he's doing. I deserve it, of course, that's the right thing to do. Yeah, man, if he doesn't make me rich, then who else? Okay, of course he knows what he's doing. That's because I, oh man, yeah, of course. Rabbi akraman, you know. وَأَمَّا إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ, when he's tested again, I mean, that's the other kind of test. There's the sweet test and there's the sour test. The sweet test, we think it's sweet, but as we are talking about in this subject, it's not. It's much more difficult test, which is the test of the sweet test, which is the test of being rich, the test of rich, comfortable, fulfilling life, versus the test, the sour test, which is the test of poverty and hardships. But both are tests, as the verse clearly says. When he's tested with a rich, comfortable, fulfilling life, of course he knows what he's doing. I deserve it. Now, on the other hand, when he's tested with the hardships and the calamities and the tight provisions. فَأَمَّا إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ فَقَدَرَ عَلَيْهِ رِزْقُ. He makes his provisions tight, very tight, barely enough or less than enough, barely making his days with a lot of hardships and suffering. فَيَقُولُ, he accuses Allah. رَبِّ أَهَانَنِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't know what he's doing. I mean, I don't deserve that. What have I done wrong? He doesn't know what, you know, that I don't deserve that. I mean, he's insulting me. He's not giving me what I deserve. Rabbi ahanan. He's insulting me. He is putting me down. That's not what I deserve. I deserve better than that. How come this person has and I don't have? This guy, the man God, look at him. He's rich and I'm not rich. The common people, the street people, sometimes say, يَدِّ الْحَلَأْ لِلِّبَلَوْ دَانِ. Which means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives earrings to the ones who don't have ears. And the question is, what do you mean by that? I mean, when you say that you're accusing Allah of being blind, He gives blindly without any wisdom. What do you mean gives the earrings to the ones who don't have ears? يَدِّ الْحَلَأْ لِلِّبَلَوْ دَانِ. This is another accusation for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even worse than that, the worst accusation ever that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala got regarding this is from the Jews. وَقَالَتِ الْيَهُودُ يَدُ اللَّهِ مَغْلُولًا. The Jews have said, the hands of Allah is so tight. Allah is so tight in providing, in provisions, He's so tight. His hands are tight. You know, He's making very few people rich and the majority of the people are poor. If He is generous, like He says, He would give us, He would at least not make us all rich, but at least He would have made the majority of us rich, not to mention the chosen people. The chosen people, they're all supposed to be rich. You know, so His hands are tight, He's stingy, He's miser. غُلَّتْ أَيْدِيهُمْ وَلُعِنُوا بِمَا قَالُوا. May their hands become attached to their necks and they are cursed for whatever they say. بَلْ يَدَاهُ مَقْصُوتَتَانِ يُنْفِقُ كَيْفَ يَشَاءَ. His hands are extend to spend wisely the way he wishes. Before accusing Allah, accuse yourself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that if we are all rich, we will be spoiled brats. That's the very well known fact. Even though if you say, I'm not going to be a spoiled brat, I'm going to control myself, good luck. A lot of people said, I'm going to control myself and not lose weight. And I'm sorry, and not gain weight. I'm going to cut on my food. I'm going to cut on my diet. I'm going to lose weight. And they end up gaining weight. So it is not you. Your heart sometimes defeats you. I mean, when pushes comes to shove and you're tempted by food, you lose it. You lose control. I mean, when pushes comes to shove and you're faced by temptations, you lose control. Same thing. So Allah knows and you don't know. So you say, Allah, you know best. You know me. If being rich is good for me, you give it to me. If not, ya Allah, bima shi'ta wa kayfa shi'ta. The way you want, what you want, the way you want it. You know best. Whatever you give me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives another concept, which is the concept of making the bad guys rich and powerful. Allah is saying, this is not a sign of His love. أَيَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّمَا نُمِدُّهُمْ بِهِ مِنْ مَالٍ وَبَنِينَ نُسَارِعُ لَهُمْ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. Do they think that this wealth and power and money is a sign of my love? No. I am advancing for them the pleasures in this life for whatever good deeds they do. Because not only Muslims do good deeds, a lot of people do good deeds. And Allah's fair does not deny anybody the reward of the good deed, even if the intention wasn't for His sake. People who deny the existence of Allah, they do good deeds not motivated by their love, motivated by temptations, because they are tempted to do good deeds and they enjoy doing good deeds and they do good deeds. It's not restricted to the people who have faith only do good deeds. Manners are three components. There are three components of manners. It's not only one. One of them only the manners that come from the religion, and two other components come from outside of the religion. The first component that comes outside of the religion are the natural manners that you're born with. Like somebody born, very easy to get angry. Another body is born, very stingy. This is like the natural state that Allah, the natural manners that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides to His slaves. And then the second, somebody is easy to cool down. And when he was angry, he cools down quickly. And somebody else is very slow in cooling down and holding grudges. All right, these are natural manners. It's given as from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the first component. And then the second component of manners comes because of growing up. The way you're raised. The environment that you are raised in. As Allah said in Surah At-Tin, that I create humans in the best form. And this best form is not Muslims, by the way. A lot of people say, they translate this hadith that we are all born Muslims. No. This is very intimidating to non-Muslims first, and then it's not true. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I've created humans in the best form. You want to see that best form? See how innocent is a baby is. And by the way, Allah is more innocent than the newborn baby, and more powerful and great than a strong, powerful king. He's combining innocence with power and might and strength and wisdom and all these 99 names. So He created humans in the best form, innocent babies. Then they pick up from the surrounding. We're not born guilty like the some other people who were born inheriting our sin, the sin of Adam, and then we have to pay for it, etc., etc. We are born like that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates humans in the best form, and then they pick up from the surrounding. And this pick up from the surrounding is the second component of manners. So first is the natural manners given by birth as from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because He divides manners among us. Second is the ones coming from growing up. Some people growing up untested, like some people who grow up in a rich, comfortable, fulfilling life, they have never been tested. And of course, they do very well. I mean, if you're not tested, then don't say, I passed the test. I mean, you're not tested to start with. And then the other kind of people, they are tested so badly, that they have suffered a lot during their growing up. Okay, so when you're comparing them, you're not comparing apples with apples. You're comparing apples with oranges. You're comparing somebody who did not take the test, and he's doing well. Of course he's doing well, he didn't take the test. And then the other one, he's being tested, and then he's scoring 70%. Now, why don't we switch places? Why don't we take, for example, just as an example, the people who grew up in a rich, comfortable, fulfilling life, let's say in the United States, and put them over there in Egypt, for example, and then, or take, put them in the refugee camps in Palestine, okay, and you don't know what a refugee camp is, and then take the people in the refugee camps and bring them here, okay, and let's see what the people who are going to come from here to go there are going to do. Now we're comparing apples with apples, not apples with oranges. So the second component of test comes because of the way you grow up and where did you grow up and what kind of environment you're growing up in. And then the third component, the manners of religion, that comes because don't steal, haram, don't, from the do's and don'ts, do's and don'ts, do's and don'ts, the list of do's and don'ts that Allah and His Prophet gave to us. So by these manners, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. What brought us into the subject of manners? I branched out. Anybody remembers? Follow the tricks. We came to the subject of manners because there was a point here to make. Anyway, let's go back to the original subject. So, oh yeah, I remember now that good people, Muslims and non-Muslims, both do good deeds. Okay. So if somebody is rewarded according to this verse, now I remember this verse saying that I am advancing the rewards for them in this life. So Allah doesn't like them, but they do good deeds. So Allah is rewarding them. So when they come, they have nothing to be paid for. Okay, they will be paid everything in this life. The rewards for the good deeds they get all in this life and whatever they intended. If they intended fame and recognition, they get it. Or they get something else, a replacement, a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also the criminals that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates so much, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that I give them all the pleasures in this life and even more because they are criminals. They are not being rewarded because they have done no good deeds. Allah says I give them more until إِنَّمَا نُمْلِي لَهُمْ لِيَزْدَادُوا so that they increase. Okay? So when they increase their level of evil and bad deed and wickedness, I increase my level of giving. So they go higher, then I give them more, then they go higher and they increase and they increase and they increase and they increase and I give them more and more and do more and more. Then until the end of their freedom time, the end of their free will, when they are arrested and jailed in graves first and then jailed to the court of Allah and then jailed in hellfire, until that time, okay, comes, then I take them and they don't qualify for any kind of mercy. That's it. Hatta, and the hadith of Qudsi, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if I am angry with my slave, I provide to him his shares of provision through haram channels. I razaqtuhu min haram. I give him the shares of provisions through haram channels. Hatta إِذَا اشْتَدَّ غَضَبِي عَلَيْهِ until I'm so angry with him, زِدْتُ لَهُ فِي رِزْقِهِ مِنَ الْحَرَامِ I increase his shares, his provision, I increase it, but through the haram channel. حَتَّى إِذَا أَخَذْتُهُ لَمْ أُفْلِتْ so when he is arrested at the time of death, he qualifies for no mercy, no way out. That's it. He's gone there. You know, he's taken there. So, bottom line is that there's a lot of wisdom explained in the Quran regarding this particular issue because Allah is so much accused. So much accused from people. Then we started last time explaining a lot of wisdom in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not making everybody rich. What is that wisdom? I'm going to keep the time even though Brother Abu Yusuf is not here. So, what is the wisdom in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala making if they sign the wealth, there are people, very good people that are very rich and powerful, such as Dhulqarnayn and Sulaiman alayhi salam, Prophet Sulaiman alayhi salam. He was a king prophet. On the other hand, there are people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made poor, even though they are the best people ever walked on earth, such as Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says both are tests. In Surah Al-Anbiya, Allah says, وَنَبْلُوكُمْ بِالْخَيْرِ وَالشَّرِّ فِتْنَةً وَإِلَيْنَا تُرْجَعُونَ. I give you a test with the sweet test, which is the khayr, you know, the abundance, rich, comfortable, fulfilling life. وَالشَّرِّ is what we perceive as the sour test, as a sour condition, tight condition of life. Both are tests. وَإِلَيْنَا تُرْجَعُونَ. At the end of the test, you're coming back to me. I am going to judge everyone on his or her performance. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was so poor. He used to sleep on the mat, and the print of the mat, the pattern of the mat, will print in red on his skin. You go to the house of Prophet Muhammad, the rooms that he used to live in. It's not a house, it's a room. It's a small room for every one of his wives. You go there, what do you have? Dirt and mat on one of the corners, and if there is something to drink on or something, you know, that's about it. Aisha radiallahu anha used to say that the crescent would come, three crescents will come, like 3 months, lunar months will pass by, and no food is being cooked in any of the rooms of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they asked her, and then what did you guys used to live on? She said that we used to live on water and dates. He denied himself the rich, comfortable, fulfilling life. And following his footsteps, five people from his ummah, five leaders, have denied themselves the rich, comfortable, fulfilling lifestyle, and they have lived life of poverty, even though they were ruling a big, huge empire. Okay, those five people are called the five righteous khalifa. Four of them came right after Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We know them, Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, alayhi, may Allah be pleased with all of them. They denied themselves the rich, comfortable, fulfilling lifestyle. Umar ibn al-Khattab, he was ruling an empire from the east to the west, and Uthman, and he was denying himself the rich, comfortable, fulfilling lifestyle, and he was intentionally depriving himself from wealth. He was afraid that the wealth is going to corrupt him. That's how, he was afraid that he was going to become a rich, comfortable, he's going to become a rich, spoiled elite. So he stayed away from wealth. And he was scared from the influence of the wealth on the Muslim Ummah. When he conquered the Persian Empire, the treasures of the Persian Empire started, and the business and everything started showering in to the Muslim Ummah. So he said, I wish I didn't go into the Persian Empire. I wish that there is a huge big wall mountain between me and them. I leave them alone and they leave me alone. I'm so afraid of the wealth flowing in from them after the land was conquered and the treasures of Kisra was opened and distributed. He said, he got so scared, and he said, this is a formula for disaster. The formula for disaster is a lot of money plus very little training, very little building of Islamic personality equals a disaster. The newcomers to Islam, they didn't got trained by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They are good people, but they didn't get that much training. Okay, the training that makes them deny themselves the rich, comfortable, fulfilling life, and many of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam Sahaba, they have intentionally, with a lot of wealth, they will deny themselves the rich, comfortable, fulfilling lifestyle. It's not required, by the way, but that is the level that they have reached, denying themselves the rich, comfortable, fulfilling lifestyle. They continued to do that after his death. Even though they were getting money from left and right, they would give it all for the sake of Allah and live on very little tight life. Okay? So Umar ibn al-Khattab said, the people, the newcomers to Islam, are not like those. They are not like those people. No, they have very little training. The Islamic personality, the building of Islamic personality, they have very little training regarding this issue. So I am afraid that they just heard a little about Islam and then they accepted Islam and they got basic teachings and they didn't get much training. So this, plus abundant wealth from the Persian Empire after conquering the Persian Empire, equals disaster. To the level that at his life he says, Ya Allah, take me and don't make people go corrupt at my time. Ya Allah. And Allah granted his wish. As soon as he died, the Muslim Ummah started boiling with exactly like he predicted, the formula of disasters. you know, fitan and tests and fighting started to come, and the bad guys came to Medina, occupied Medina, and they threatened the companions and took control. You know the story all the way to the end. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروا.
Exactly 20 minutes.